This weekend starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Has work lost its meaning? I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Final weekend of November. Glad you could spend part of it with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
New research indicates fewer and fewer Americans see their job as a source of life's meaning. We'll have analysis.
Got plans to open the wallet for Cyber Monday. Cyber thieves are waiting. Hear tips on how to best protect your data.
Have you noticed that French fries taste differently these days? Rising prices of cooking oil may be to blame.
And our love-hate relationship with fallen leaves.
For one thing, there are a lot of leaves. Towns buy these vacuums. It can cost $70,000 or more, and they pull them around on trucks. They try to get people to rake the leaves out into the street or to the edge of their lot and neat little rows. But as you might know, people don't always follow the rules. And so sometimes they put the leaves out too early or they stack them up way too high.
James Haggerty at the Wall Street Journal on the different ways we collect raked leaves. Well, as we told you, new data from the CDC found that more than 100,000 Americans died of drug overdoses the year following COVID lockdowns, the most ever in a one-year span. And at least one addiction recovery expert feels it's going to get worse. Concepta McNamara is a life coach and author of a new book called Freedom. She's in the Boston area. Concepta, those numbers were probably not a surprise to you.
It really didn't surprise me. Been in recovery myself for over 30 years. I have seen many, many, you know, people die from this disease of alcoholism and drug addiction. And I definitely see it's getting worse. And a lot of people will, you know, point at the pandemic, but a lot of it, I think, is just not really having a relationship with ourselves, not connecting with ourselves, lack of self-love. You know, to see the headlines of death, it's really important for me to go back in time and see what's really missing. You know, underneath every addiction is pain, and the antidote for that is connection with another human being. And a lot of that does not get, you know, used because of, you know, early use of alcohol stunts our growth. We don't have the ability to communicate. There's so much that goes on between the mind of the addict, and a lot of times that mind is extremely distorted before they ever, you know, take that last hit or drug.
Why do you think, Concepta, that it's going to get worse?
I think it's going to get worse because it is so easy to get drugs nowadays. You know, they even make what some people consider a gateway drug, marijuana, legal in many states. I think it's an amazing drug for people that really have pain. But someone like myself who used it for many, many years without having, you know, the external pain, but being able to use it to numb out. And that did become a gateway drug for me. But luckily I was blessed, you know, at a young age to also, you know, be able to reach out for help and get some help. But I do think it's getting easier and easier to get drugs on the streets nowadays. So that's the part that's heartbreaking.
We're speaking with Concepta McNamara, life coach, also author of a new book called Freedom. We're talking about what the pandemic has meant for addiction. So during the pandemic, people found addiction, say, for the first time, I may not be wording it correctly, and in addition, were certain people's condition made worse as an addict during the pandemic?
It's interesting because I work with clients as a life coach, and I've working currently with a few people that as a result of the pandemic, they actually got clean and sober because their local bars closed down, and they were a few of the blessed people, but it did go the opposite for other people. I do know people's rage and anger have heightened, and again, because of their inability to communicate effectively and to be able to have that connection with themselves, it got extremely distorted and worse and created a lot of pain for many people, especially the family that have to look at the addict, you know, going deeper and deeper into that dark place.
During the pandemic, was it a certain age group that found themselves being addicts?
I don't really put I don't think, you know, addiction cares how old you are. I really believe it depends on where you're at prior to the pandemic. You know, I know 60-year-olds that were able to get sober. I know 22-year-olds that died. You know, it's like there's no age when it comes to addiction.
Right. All right, so if you are in a position where either you yourself recognize that there's something that needs to be addressed, or you are observing a loved one in trouble, what do you do? What are the first steps?
Well, I think there's a lot of power in prayer, and I say prayer without any, you know, necessary religion attached to it, but some form of higher power, because a lot of times it is beyond our control. You know, if it was something a family could help, that would be great, but a lot of times it's something has to shift internally. And, you know, the family can reach out, but a lot of times it really is up to the addict themselves to want a different way of living. And again, be willing to deal with the pain underneath.
Thanks, Concepta. Concepta McNamara. Again, the new book is called Freedom. Coming up next, data thieves await your logon for Cyber Monday. Here are the best defenses. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. As we approach Cyber Monday, it's time to strategize about how to protect against identity theft as we make our online purchases. Insight from Gary Davis, chief evangelist with the cybersecurity firm Intrusion. Gary, how dangerous is today's landscape?
Yeah, that is an unfortunate trend. And it's largely due to the fact that this time of year in particular, you know, the bad guys know we're distracted, right? So they're going to try to fish us more. They're going to try to do things to kind of lure us in more so than any other time of the year. So this is a time where both employees and consumers have to be hypersensitive that you're on somebody's radar, and if you click on something or get lured in, it could end up in a very bad way for you.
What's trending right now? Is it still texts, emails, calls?
Phishing is still the number one thing. Yeah. You know, it's getting a phished email. You know, we're seeing an uptake in what's called smishing, which is basically a phishing text message. So that's obviously, you know, because even me, when I get a text message, I tend to be more responsive. You know, so if it looks legit, perhaps I'll click on it. Now, granted, I'm one of those people that are hypersensitive and don't tend to click on things, so I'm probably not going to be duped by it. But as a consumer, you're not going to be that vigilant. Oh, that looks legit, so let me go and click on it. So that's popular. You know, another really popular thing is tech support scams. You know, they'll call you. This is where they actually call your numbers. Hey, I'm with, let's say, Microsoft support, and we noticed that, you know, something, you know, squirrely is going on with your Microsoft account. Can you give us your login credentials so we can help you out?
So you speak about this stuff probably 24/7. I mean, what should consumers keep in mind here?
First of all, you know, I always encourage consumers, especially this time of year, just to pause. You know, if you just take 1 second to pause before you click on something that could cause consequences for you and your family, that's the best advice I can give by far. There's other things like, you know, if you get an email from your bank, let's say, you know, instead of clicking on the link, actually go to the bank's website and log in and go in that way. You know, another important thing they can be doing is making sure that their devices, their smartphones or laptops or tablets, whatever, have the latest operating system and application installed. Those almost always include, you know, fixes that are going to help them, you know, stay protected. And also make sure that to the extent you can deploy some sort of AV, make sure you do that.
Speaking with Gary Davis, digital security expert and chief evangelist at the cybersecurity company Intrusion. And we're talking about being safe with your online habits, especially with Cyber Monday on the horizon. Seniors remain the most vulnerable population. Does that sound right?
Yeah, you know, we always refer to them as silver surfers. and it's, you know, it's just, it's because they're, well, actually, let me back up. They are still extremely vulnerable. because they tend to be very trusting. But we're actually seeing a little bit of trend towards the younger generation because they are so comfortable just clicking away that they can be duped in a lot of cases more easily than a Silver Surfer. Because, you know, the thing about Silver Surfers is we've been spending a lot of energy and time over these past several years to make sure they're informed. So they're becoming a little bit more suspicious, where a younger generation person, let's say somebody in their 20s who grew up online, you know, feel they're impervious to the lures of a bad guy and don't feel they're going to be duped and find out that they are duped. Now, the big distinction is they typically don't have a lot of, you know, things to go after. For example, to get access to your savings account with no money in it, well, harm is done, right?
True. Is there a point that we ever draw even with the criminals and we kind of balance things out? Because I feel like we're always one step behind.
You know, I wish I could give you a good answer. I got a good answer. Unfortunately, it's not the answer you want. There's a lot of data that shows that organizations are spending a lot more money to make sure they have your better protections for the consumers who would use their service or product. But it looks like that the gap between how much you're spending and the economic impact of that continues to grow.
Wow.
You know, typically you think if you spend more and more on fixing a problem, at some point you're going to see that trend line of the economic impact start to decline.
Yeah.
And they'd be intersect at some point. We haven't seen that yet. We're still seeing them kind of going away from each other. But I'm hopeful that, you know, with innovations and a more informed and educated consumer, that we'll get ahead of it in time.
Hey, good insight. Anything else you want to drop in you think we need to mention?
You know, just, again, be super vigilant. You know, this past year in particular, you know, since we haven't been as accustomed to going to the office and so we're not getting that typical training we get from our employer on things we should be doing to stay safe, I would encourage people just, you know, especially this year more so than any other year, just be super mindful. The bad guys are trying to get you. They're using social engineering. They're trying to get into your head. They're trying to get into your family. And they're doing it with more malice than ever. So just be hypervigilant and don't allow yourself to be a victim.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Davis, Chief Evangelist with Intrusion. Coming up next, our love-hate relationship with falling leaves. Holiday parties are back, making it the perfect time to do a reset and upgrade your look. The Black Friday event from Indochino offers their lowest prices of the year on suits, shirts, outerwear, and more. Even lower if you use the code Gordon at Indochino.com. You can go to a showroom or measure yourself online at Indochino.com. That's what I did. The chinos I customized are the best fitting pair of pants I've ever worn, a feeling you cannot get with pants off the rack. Indochino suits start at just $299. Shirts start at $45 with all customizations included. Get away from your video call style and back into looking and feeling amazing. Indochino's Black Friday event runs from November 8th to the 29th. Save even more and get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code Gordon at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Indochino.com, promo code Gordon. Again, Indochino.com, promo code Gordon. Hey, glad you're with us. Every year, autumn leaves turn to glorious hues of scarlet and yellow, right? But not all cities and towns collect them the same way. Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
We love to look at them, but we hate to pick them up. In many areas around the country, it's leaf season. And as James Haggerty of the Wall Street Journal tells us, disposing of all that foliage can be a challenge. James, what are some of the ways different towns deal with leaf collection?
Well, what I'm really writing about here is the way that some towns use, which is to come around with a huge vacuum cleaner and vacuum them off the edge of your lawn or the edge of the street. And depending on where you live, that's either perfectly normal or more likely, it sounds a bit bizarre.
What are some of the challenges of sucking up the leaves like that?
Well, for one thing, there are a lot of leaves and there are a lot of streets. Towns buy these vacuums that can cost $70,000 or more, and they pull them around on trucks. They try to get people to rake the leaves out into the street or to the edge of their lot in neat little rows. But as you might know, people don't always follow the rules. And so sometimes they put the leaves out too early or they stack them up way too high and they blow all over the place.
Do some towns have problems paying for this system?
I'm sure many towns would decide that it's just not worth it. Some towns that used to do it have stopped doing it because it takes up, it occupies so many public works employees for weeks on end that they can't do other things like repair potholes.
We're speaking with James Haggerty of the Wall Street Journal. What happens to those leaves after they get sucked up by those trucks then?
Well, ordinarily they will be trucked somewhere and then chopped up further, and then they will be turned into mulch.
There are some people who believe that the leaves should just stay where they are and not get raked up, not get collected. What are some of the problems with just letting leaves lie around a city?
Well, I think one of the main problems would, well, there's a couple of problems. One problem is it would probably destroy your lawn after a while because the grass wouldn't get any sunlight. Now, that would be fine with many naturalists, but it wouldn't be fine with other people. Another problem with not picking them up is that a lot of them would drift over to the storm sewers. And when a bunch of leaves gets into the wastewater, then it goes down to the lakes and rivers, and that adds phosphorus and other nutrients to the water.
Your story talks about some township officials and city personnel who actually have to run on challenges like this, or it becomes an election topic. Talk about that.
Well, this was a case in Hillsdale, Michigan. Mayor Adam Stockford was elected in 2017, and he's kind of a libertarian, and he was looking around seeing what could be done more efficiently. What does the city not need to do? And he noticed that they would go around with a big truck, and they had employees shoveling leaves into the truck, and he thought this was pretty primitive. And so he said, you know, let's just have people pick up their own leaves. You know, you put them in a bag. Well, he found out that you know, some people had to fill up 60 or 70 bags because they had such huge yards, and they were not happy. Then his idea was, well, why don't we just let people burn their leaves? The fire department said, no, we're not going to do that. So finally, Mayor Stockford backed down, and he invested something like $200,000 in a machine that doesn't really vacuum them up, but kind of sweeps them up and more efficiently puts them into the back of a truck. And he's hoping that that will please everybody, and that he will be reelected next year.
Do you think that down the road there might be some new technologies or a different way to do this that makes it all simpler?
Well, I think, you know, some of the systems are simpler than others. There's the system they use in Janesville, Wisconsin, is they have a truck with a long tube that looks like kind of like an elephant's trunk, only much bigger. And the driver sits on the right side of the cab, and he's got a joystick. He can control that tube. And that way, if people haven't put their leaves in quite the right place, he can still reach them.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Wall Street Journal reporter James Haggerty. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka, final weekend of November. Coming up this half hour, is your job a source of life's meaning? Also, banks sending out way more credit card offers than usual. Plus, why that free supermarket turkey isn't really all that free. And the reason for soggy French fries these days. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, among all the life changes brought by the pandemic, Americans' view of work has drastically shifted. Juliana Kaplan, reporter at Insider, has a look at new data. Juliana, give us some findings.
So the Pew Research Center, which is obviously a great research source, does this really widespread, high-quality polling, just came out with new data comparing where Americans, and they also surveyed, I believe, in total 17 advanced economies on where adults find source of meaning in life. And one big drop among Americans was in 2017, 24% of the people surveyed on average said that work was a source of meaning in life. That dropped to 17% in 2021, which is a pretty big drop, 7 percentage points. So yeah, it's a really interesting rethink, and I think it's data that speaks to a lot of what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. All right. So is there any insight as to what people were saying as to why work seems to have lost meaning?
Yes. Yeah, so the survey itself didn't really collect data on why things lost meaning, but rather what did hold meaning. So for instance, things like family and children, about half of people, 49% of people, said that that was a source of life's meaning, and then that was followed closely by friends. I also thought, interestingly enough, nature and the outdoors grew as a source of meaning, and so did freedom and independence as well. So these are the things that we can kind of see, perhaps metaphorically, filling that void. And I think, again, all of those really speak to a lot of the ways that the pandemic shifted people's mindsets.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess a lot of folks had some sort of reckoning, or maybe the fact that they spent more time outdoors, right? Gave them a greater appreciation for nature or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for me, I was always scared to bike in New York before this, and now I'm out on city bike like every day.
We're speaking with Juliana Kaplan, labor and inequality reporter at Insider. Her piece is called Fewer Adults See Their Job as a Source of Life's Meaning. What did that mean in terms of income? And like, did the amount of money you make each year play a role in how you felt about this type of question?
You know, broadly following the same trends that we saw in 2017, higher income adults were more likely to say that their career gave them meaning. And that's true for adults with a college education compared to those who do not have a college degree. So 24% of high income adults said that their career gives them meaning. And then that's compared to 12%, so half of low income adults. And then 26% of those with college degrees saw work as a source of meaning, compared to 11% among their peers who do not have a college degree.
Yeah. Boy, anybody weigh in on kind of what this might mean for the workplace of the future?
You know, something that we've seen in Insider, we actually did our own polling on this, and people just really want flexibility and they want higher income. I mean, I talked to Anthony Klotz, who is an organizational psychologist. He's great, and he's the one who came up with the term the Great Resignation. And he said that something that happened during the pandemic is that people were sort of, it was necessary for people to find themselves separated from the workplace, whether that's physically, you got sent home to go work from home, whether you got laid off, whether you had any sort of, like, everyone had some sort of forced distance. And that kind of allowed people to try out other elements of their lives that they just hadn't had the time or capacity to do before.
Thanks, Juliana. Juliana Kaplan, reporter at Insider. Coming up next, banks rolling out scores of credit card offers. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Glad you could spend part of your Thanksgiving weekend with us. Americans paid down credit card debt during the pandemic. Credit card issuers are now spending big to get them borrowing again. Anna Maria Andriotis, consumer lending reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says banks' credit card marketing costs surged last quarter. Anna Maria, what's trending?
The main thing that credit card issuers are trying to address right now is getting credit card balances back up. Credit card debt fell substantially after the pandemic began. And while debt numbers are starting to rise again, they're nowhere near where they used to be before the pandemic began. So just some numbers to point out. In the last few months, we have seen some increases again in overall credit card balances in the U.S. As of September, they totaled $784 billion. But back in the beginning of 2020, that figure was over $900 billion. Oh, wow. So it came down a lot for a variety of reasons. And for the banks, what that means as credit card balances fall is fewer interest charges are being paid by cardholders, which results in less revenue for the banks.
What types of pitches are we seeing?
So there's a mixture of things playing out. Right now, the credit cards that are being offered in the mail, so the mailed credit card solicitations, are back above pre-pandemic level. So those are all the things, you know, that we get in our mailboxes stuffed with, you know, new credit card offers for us to sign up for. There were 940 million of those offers that were mailed out in the third quarter alone. That is back to pre-pandemic levels. In addition to that, we're seeing that the cash back offers and the miles and points that are being offered on cards are slowly rising. So for example, on cash back cards, on average, they offered 1.11% per dollar that a cardholder spends. That was up from 1.08% in the beginning of the year. It's the highest level since at least 2010. That's according to a website, wallethub.com, that tracks different credit card offers. Miles and points have gone in the same direction, reaching their highest level in over a decade at, on average, 1.2 miles or points given per dollar spent on those cards. And lastly, we're also seeing new credit card rollouts.
Because they probably pay on time, right?
Exactly. Yeah. With those good credit scores signaling that they're not going to become delinquent, they pay on time,
yep.
But that they don't or might not pay their full bill.
We're speaking with Anna Maria Andriotis, consumer lending reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "It's Not Just You, Banks Really Are Sending Out More Credit Card Offers." How much are banks spending, right? This is a big amount from the marketing budget.
Well, when taken all together, this is essentially a multi-billion-dollar spending spree. There are a few signs that this will stop anytime soon. To give some examples on a bank-by-bank basis, American Express marketing spending increased 26% in the third quarter from a year prior to $1.4 billion. The company said earlier this year that it expects to spend more than $5 billion on marketing in 2021. Capital One's marketing spending has also soared up 165% in the third quarter from a year earlier, with credit card marketing being, the bank said, the biggest driver of those figures.
That's Anna Maria Andriotis, consumer lending reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, when free turkey isn't really all that free. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for spending some time with us. In this year of turkey inflation, food retailers and even cell phone companies rolled out promotions to bag a free bird. But Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch, says consumers should shop carefully. Charles, help us out.
Well, you know, most supermarkets do this kind of loss leader offer. They can try to get you to the store. And I've seen it for as low as $100. I think I've heard reports of even spending $50. You spend a certain amount and you get a free turkey, or sometimes you get a turkey on a discount. It can be as high as spending up to $400, though, in some cases. So it's, you know, but it's basically to get you in the store, theoretically, to do your holiday shopping. And you know, there's some thought that this year, it seems like the offers have been a little bit more promoted because turkey prices are soaring. So people are very conscious of the fact that they're spending a lot more. So maybe this deal becomes all the more enticing. So in a couple of things that are going on here, one is that, you know, first of all, they're just trying to get you to spend an X amount of dollars. I mean, in the case of ShopRite, you know, a chain that's very popular in the Northeast, you have to spend $400, and that they don't, you don't have to do it all at once. It can be over a couple of visits, but you know, that's real money. And, you know, they may be giving you a good deal on the turkey, but maybe not on those bags of stuffing or on the cranberry sauce, on the gravy. So in other words, prices can be, you know, at the regular level, if not even higher, for some items that they know are likely to be in the Thanksgiving shopping basket. So you have to be very careful. I mean, I talked to a couple of shoppers, and they said that they were sort of mindful of the fact that if they see that, you know, the turkey is free, but, you know, they're going to be paying X more for pie crust, let's say, they may buy the pie crust at another store that has them at a reasonable price. So you have to be very mindful of that.
We're speaking with Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called Why That Free Supermarket Turkey Isn't Really Free. I got a kick out of that story you told of the one guy. He just loves turkey. Right? He just loves making sandwiches, and he was willing to like embrace any deal.
He got three turkeys. He got one at a reduced price at one store. But what I loved about this guy is he had another member of his household go with him shopping. So it was a $100 offer, $100 and you get a free turkey. So he said to this other member of his family, you know, we know we're gonna spend more than $200. Let's split the bill so we can get two turkeys. So he got two turkeys from that store, another turkey from another store. And I said, you got three turkeys. What are you gonna do? He was very direct. He said, I'm gonna eat one for Thanksgiving. I'm gonna experiment with smoking one. I guess he'd still have one left over. And in a very heartwarming fashion, he is going to give one to a needy family. But he is awash in turkeys, and he's got a plan. So, but I do think it was kind of funny that, you know, hey, if you're going shopping with your significant other, and you know you're going to pass the $100 mark, maybe if you're going to pass the $200 mark, split it into two baskets, get two turkeys while you're at it. So, just a thought.
Thanks, Charles. Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. We'll finish with this. If your French fries are tasting funny these days, it might be the oil. A biofuels boom is driving up demand for vegetable oil, boosting costs for food manufacturers and restaurants who use it for things like baking bread and frying chicken. Because of that, the Wall Street Journal says many restaurant operators are trying to stretch the life of the liquid in their fryers. Some are hunting for longer-lasting varieties known as high-performance fry oil, only to find it snatched up by big chains. In some regions, restaurants are battling thefts of used oil, which has also risen in value. In upstate New York, executive chef David Wagner says rising cooking oil costs have helped drive up menu prices for chicken wings by 20% at his restaurant, City Line. He said his staff is careful not to stretch the oil too far, which can give fried food a bitter and greasy taste. He's instructed his fry staff to strain the restaurant's cooking oil three times a day instead of just twice to prevent particles from City Line's signature chicken wings and mozzarella sticks from building up. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.